Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. Wolfgang Beltracchi, The Prince of Forgers. Of all the forgers in history, here's one who will be remembered for a long time by the art world. With his worn-out rock star look, it's hard to believe that Wolfgang Beltracchi authored over 300 fake paintings. He claims to have imitated 100 different painters, including the Cubists Georges Vermeer and Fernand Léger, the Expressionist Johannes Moltan, the German Max Ernst, the Frenchmen Georges Braque, Raoul Dufy, and André Derain. A counterfeit bounty estimated at over 19 million euros. In February 1951, Wolfgang Fischer was born in Höxter, a village in the German province of Westphalia-Lippe. His father, head of a large family and restorer of works in churches, introduced Wolfgang to painting very early. A turbulent, volcanic youth, Wolfgang took up a challenge when he was still a teenager to reproduce a painting of a Madonna and Child by Picasso. He passed with flying colors. A gifted painter but an unenthusiastic student, Wolfgang dropped out of high school and enrolled in an art school in Aachen without much conviction. He only stayed there a short time, judging they had nothing to teach him. He says he was even accused of cheating by one of his teachers, who found his work too good to be his own. Wolfgang hopped on his Harley-Davidson and wandered Europe for a while. He eventually landed in the Netherlands and lived on a hippie barge. There he shared joints, acid, and women with soldiers returning from Vietnam who were visiting the nearby NATO base. To keep up with his painting, he produced a few works that he sold according to his need for money. One day in 1978, he even managed to exhibit his work in Munich. The paintings still bore his own name. His life could have gone on like this, in anonymity, poverty, and drugs, but Wolfgang was astute and perspicacious. Observing the Dutch art market, he noticed that, in the Netherlands, works featuring ice skaters were sold faster and more expensively than others. He bought a few old paintings and painted in figure skaters, reselling them at a higher price. This gave him the idea of the general principle of acquiring old paintings, updating them, with ice skaters for example, and presenting them fraudulently at sale as original works by 18th century masters. A few years later, Wolfgang abandons the Age of Enlightenment in favor of the 20th century. Not so much by taste than by strategy. The pigments that make up the paints are more readily available. He'll explain later, in an interview with Vanity Fair, that he sometimes painted 10 canvases in a month and could live off these sales for many more months. He calls himself a freak, a strange person, asocial, a hippie. His life takes a new turn when he decides to travel the world as a scriptwriter and editor of a documentary about pirates. His gaze crosses the blue eyes of a pretty blonde Hélène Beltracchi, then employed by the film production company. At first, she considers him a fool, but ultimately, she will abandon the cast and crew stuck in Mallorca to elope with him. Wolfgang marries Hélène and her surname in 1993. Would it be to escape his antics as Fischer? The story does not say, but newly minted Wolfgang Beltracchi is on the move. Wolfgang understands that to purely copy a work is risky. He therefore chooses paintings listed in the Catalogue Raisonné, the official inventory of an artist's works listed by an expert. But not just any paintings. Those for whom we know only the title, whose image has been lost over time, and that he will be able to create from scratch. He studies the existing works of the artists in detail, He goes through the history, the places, the artist's life, and like an empty shell, he lets himself be penetrated by the soul of the missing painter until he is able to walk in his shoes, paint with his left hand if the artist was left-handed, to feel what he felt. He does not paint in the manner of, but as. The scenario set up by the art pirates is as simple as it is effective. Helene's maternal grandfather, Werner Jaegers, was a wealthy industrialist who had recently died. In 1933, he was friends with German Jew Alfred Flechtheim, who had gone into exile in Paris a few months after Adolf Hitler came to power. Just before the Nazis seized his galleries in Dusseldorf and Berlin, he sold Jaegers the contents of a stash. The works were stored in his country house near Cologne, safe from looting, and remained in the family. In order to make her story more credible, Helene went so far as to buy a 1920s camera, props and furniture from the period, and, wearing her grandmother Josephine's hairstyle and clothes, had photographs taken of herself in front of the paintings. Helene only met her grandfather once, when he was 80 years old. The only true elements of this story are the names of the characters. There were a number of inconsistencies in the story that could have foiled the couple's plans, but Helene's self-confidence and the professional manners of their accomplice, Count Otto, nicknamed by his entourage because of his pale complexion and black wardrobe giving him the appearance of Dracula, silenced all doubts, even those of renowned experts, including Werner Spies, former director of the Pompidou Center in Paris, who authenticated 7 forgeries of Max Ernst, painted by Wolfgang, which sold at a high price. One of them, The Forest, is described by Dorothea Tanning, Ernst's widow, as the most beautiful painting Max ever painted. It was sold for the modest sum of 1.8 million euros to the company Salomon Trading, which sold it in turn to Daniel Filipacchi, former head of Paris Match magazine, for 5.5 million euros in 2006. Another forgery, this time signed German expressionist Johannes Molzahn, was sold to the artist's own widow. A first mistake almost put an end to the duo in 1995. 3 works by Molzahn, painted by Beltracchi, were recognized as forgeries. One of them contained the pigment invented in 1957, while the painting allegedly dated from the 1920s. Despite the suspicions, Wolfgang, having left Germany with his wife before the beginning of the investigation, was not indicted. However, a second mistake was made at the same time. In order to strengthen the supposed authenticity of the works at the time of their sale, the Beltracchis decided to affix labels, made from lino cuts and rubber stamps and stained with tea and coffee to imitate the patina of time, to the backs of the paintings in the Flechtheim collection. They represent a caricature of Flechtheim. It is precisely this caricature that catches the eye of the expert Ralph Jentz in 2008. He explains that Flechtheim was a man of taste. He would not have allowed such an absurd portrait of himself. Then, a third mistake finally brings down the Beltracchi house of cards. To paint a fake Campendonk, red picture with horses, Wolfgang, perhaps become complacent in his success, bought a tube of aged zinc white rather than making it himself as he often did. It contained 2% titanium white, a pigment developed after 1914. In August 2010, Helene's sister, who acted as an intermediary in the sale of the painting, was found guilty. The family of Werner Jaegers, Helene's grandfather, is heard and confirms that he never met Alfred Flechtheim and that the collection does not exist. A fake Fernand Léger was discovered in a museum near Dusseldorf. A search of the Beltracchi home was planned, but never took place because of the French justice system's vacation. At the end of August, the wind blows stronger. Wiretaps pick up Wolfgang asking his son to destroy the computers containing the evidence of fraud. On the evening of August 27, 2010, a thunderclap. The couple is arrested in their house in Freiburg in the presence of their children. Opening on September 1, 2011, the trial of the Beltracchi is a media spectacle, some say a masquerade. Only 14 paintings are retained by the judge due to a statute of limitations. 170 witnesses and a file of 8,000 pages will be swept away by an agreement between the lawyers and the judge. The couple pleads guilty. Helene's sister is given a 21-month suspended sentence. Otto Schulte-Kellinghaus, their accomplice the Count, gets a 5-year prison sentence. Helene, 4 years. Wolfgang, 6. After a few months, their sentence is modified to semi-liberty. Although they each sleep in their own cell, Helene and Wolfgang are free during the day and are preparing for their final release in early 2015. Since prison, they've been exhibiting Wolfgang's paintings in the manner of and surfing on their notoriety. Several books have been published, a documentary in 15 episodes, Beltracchi, Die Kunst der Fälschung, The Art of Counterfeiting, the work of the German writer-director Arne Birkenstock, who happens to be the son of the Beltracchi's lawyer. Ironically, paintings signed by Wolfgang Beltracchi today sell for several hundred thousand euros. Only one question remains, which the couple themselves might not be able to answer. 300 works have been painted, 70 have been identified. On which walls do the others hang? Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.